The following program is a presentation of the FlyPod New Media Network, www.theflypod.com.
From Studio 7, I am your host, Alex Parnuk. Regardless of how you're listening, we're glad to have you join us. When you have a few minutes, take time to browse around our media website. We have a nationwide network of show hosts, and we podcast a wide variety of programs daily to thousands of small communities across the United States, Puerto Rico, and the Virgin Islands. When it comes to media, we are what's next. This America Speaks Out segment features Dr. Cleet Bulak. Dr. Bulak has been with us before and provided much-needed insights into our educational system, but today we'll be speaking about his consulting agency called the Professional Development and Assessment Center. He's providing training and leadership skills in human relations, conflict management, and group management. Recently, Dr. Bulak has been speaking about the 9 forms of power and conflict management techniques useful within the business world of bureaucracies. Welcome back to America Speaks Out, Dr. Bulak.
It's a pleasure to be on your show again, Alex.
In your new endeavor, the PDAC, as I call it, the Professional Development and Assessment Center, you provide assistance to businesses as to leadership and conflict management. Would you expand on that a bit so that our listeners would have a better understanding of what it is that you provide to organizations? Can you expand on how you have melded your education books into that PDAC?
There is a simple technique that any business can use and any school can use. Any organization, whether you're a church, chamber of commerce, or whatever, it's called force field analysis, developed by Kurt Lewin, K-U-R-T-L-E-W-I-N. You can get on the web and look him up. He's a famous organizational development person. Force field analysis, what are the forces for and against your business, your group, your school, having a good culture and climate? What are the forces against it having one? The technique, I have simplified it a great deal. It's in chapter 2 of book number 1. It goes like this. I like working at this place, whether it's I like being part of this church. I like attending this church. I like being at our school because that identifies the forces for. You say, right, complete these 2 sentences as often as you wish. Sentence number 1. I like. And then you finish the sentence with the group or whatever. I like working there because, I like being part of this group because. Be creative with the sentence to identify the forces for what your group has got going well. Okay, then the second one is, I would like being part of this group better if is the key word, better if. That identifies the forces against. It's a very simple technique. It is a way to interview 100 or 1,000 kids in your school, or 100 employees. It's a way to interview, a paper interview. Does that make any sense to you?
To me, it seems like a form of empowerment where you're actually getting feedback from the kid, from the employees or the parishioners or the students.
That's it. And you hit it. Empowerment. The key to being a good leader is to give control to the employees without giving it up. How do you do that? The force field analysis is one way to do that. You ask them what they like about your organization, your group, your school. And you don't ask them what they don't like, because that's a negative. You say, I would like it better if. So it's a positive way to get at the negative. It's a very good technique. Kurt Lewin goes into in-depth with that technique. But those 2 sentences, for any business out there, if you want a quick survey of how to improve your organization, this will identify what you got to do to improve it. It also identifies what you've got going well. And sometimes you can focus on the going well and make them better. It's easier to focus on the positive and improve on that than it is to remove the negative. But you need to know what's out there. When I was a teacher, I went to the kids and I said, Mr. Bulock is a good teacher because Mr. Bulock would be a better teacher if. I got feedback. Western Hills High School, where I taught German, you know, we had 5 German teachers when I left there. We had the largest German department in the entire United States. And it was all because all of the teachers there were using that technique to improve their teaching. The kids loved this.
I think employees would love that also.
Yes, they would. Another technique for you, your listeners out there, if you're a manager or a supervisor, this is a technique I used everywhere I went, anytime I went into a new position. As the new superintendent, I said, what do you expect of me as your superintendent? And I gave all the teachers 3 3-by-5 cards, and they looked at me like I was crazy. You want us to tell you what we expect? Yeah. I don't know what you expect. Because, you know, when you're the leader of an organization, you've got people working for you who are black, who are white, who are wealthy, who are poor, maybe on food stamps. What do they expect of you? You don't know. Most leaders don't know. But they tell the employees what they expect. Again, control. When you give control to your employees that way, they look at you. What are they thinking? Well, this guy cares about us. He's listening to us. He's trusting us. He's open to what we say. It's a different kind of leader. The theme throughout our books is servant leadership. What does a leader do? A leader is there to serve the needs of the people and the organization. The leader has to focus on the needs of the organization and has to get those met. But if the needs of the people are not being met, the needs of the organization aren't going to be met. I call that servant leadership. Most leaders come across as self-serving. Now let's talk about Trump for a minute. I want to make America great again. Does that sound like a servant leader?
Well, it could be. Depends on how you think of those words mean. The meaning, are you doing it or is it going to be done to you? Our government is one of the biggest bureaucracies that we have. And just out of curiosity, have you done anything with the government or has it strictly been with the schools and businesses?
I have not done anything with the government, but if you get on YouTube and look up my YouTube video analyzing President Trump's conflict management style, it has had over 700 hits.
I'm just wondering then, you know, how does this fit in with your PDAC? You know, I've had the opportunity to listen to some of your other podcasts, and you discuss these management techniques of the various presidents, the past, present, not the future, because I don't think we can go there. How is it that this leadership position of his, how does he manage that? And you can go as far back on the presidents as you'd like.
Well, he is a very complicated individual. There are 5 conflict management styles. Each one has a win and a lose. In any conflict, there is a winner and a loser. Or here is the one that he shows the most in his presidency right now, and it's called competitive. I win, you lose. His style with the media is, you dirty dogs, I'm going to win. You're going to lose. I'm going to beat you. And of course, with the 14 people who ran against him to get the nomination, it was, I win, you lose. And with Korea, I win, you lose. With Paris Climate Accord, I win, you lose. With Cuba, I win, you lose. So that style is pretty prevalent with him, don't you agree?
That appears to be, but I'm thinking back of how it is that other presidents did these things. I mean, I just can't possibly imagine that was the style, say, of our previous president, which would have been Obama.
Well, with foreign relations, his style was accommodate. America loses, you win. The Paris Climate Accord, the Bo Bergdahl thing with Iran, God, did he accommodate. With Cuba, accommodate. America loses, you win.
Now, does that go all the way back? Say, now you go back to the Bushes and say Jimmy Carter, where the Iran problem started.
Well, with George Bush, he was a very competitive individual. You know, what did he do when the Trade Tower? He went and bombed Afghanistan. He went over there with his army. Iraq, Saddam Hussein, you know, he was very competitive, and he still is. But he also is what I call collaborative. And collaborative is win-win, and so is Trump at times. He works with people and to get them to win-win. Right now with Congress, he is in a what I call a compromise conflict management style, which is lose-lose. He is not going to get everything he wants out of Congress. So he's going to have to give up some things. What did he give up? He gave up 1.5 million DACA immigrants and he didn't get it. They didn't give anything up. Congress wouldn't give anything up. If it had gone through, he would have been an accommodator. I lose, you win. But he didn't. He didn't give in. He just gave that as, this is what I'm willing to do.
How does that come into play when you talk about, you know, Mr. Trump and his management style? You say I win, you lose. But in a way, is it a management style or is it a manipulation of those that are around him? You know, could you specifically address how that relates, again, the difference between managing and manipulating when it comes to those four controlling forms of power?
Well, manipulation, anytime you perceive that someone is manipulating you, that person is done. You are going to do everything in your power to make sure they are not manipulating you, because manipulation is probably the worst word in management that you could ever want someone to say about you, that you are manipulating them. When it comes to the nine forms of power that are used by leaders, one of those is a manipulative technique. Five freeing forms are information, expertise, personality, egos, and moral power. Those are the five freeing forms of power. We're giving information right now. People are going to listen to this and they're going to say, wow, I hadn't thought about it. I'm going to try that. So they're free, right?
Sounds like it, yeah.
And you agree that information is power.
It is, because it provides you an ability to be addressing things when you have the knowledge base for it with it.
And that's one of your major forms of power with your fly pod, right? Expertise, when you demonstrate how to do something, which is what teachers do every day in the classroom, or if you go out to the golf course and you get a golf lesson, you see something and you say, oh, I'm going to try that. But you're free to do it, to try it. Then you come to personality, and based on my interchanges with you, Alex, you have a great personality, and people tend to like you, right?
That's one of your techniques, all right.
Because of that, many times you can get people to do something by just asking them, right?
We asked you to come on the show. It's falling right into place.
Yeah. So personality power is a freeing form of power, and when I do this presentation with teachers and I say, which power to use the most, they'll almost always say personality. Because if kids like them, all they got to do is ask them and the kids will do it. Then you get to ego power. And here's the manipulative strategy. The ego power can be manipulative. And I'm sure you have stroked some egos to get people to do something, haven't you?
Well, it's sometimes necessary.
My wife says, I like to watch your muscles when you whack him the floor. Ha, ha, ha. You know, that's stroking egos to get people to do something. But if you do it too much and they become aware that you're using it as a technique to get them to do things, you may be perceived as a manipulator. There's a negative ego stroke that is dangerous, but it is the most powerful form of control. Muhammad Ali is the example I use in the book. His fourth grade teacher says, Cassius Clay, you will never amount to anything. When he won the gold glove in Cuba Olympics, guess where he went? First place he went when he got back home to that teacher. You told me I wouldn't amount to anything. Look at this. The negative ego stroke, many coaches use it. The technique might go something like this. Hey, you know that team we're playing across town? They're pretty tough. I'm not sure we're going to be up for them. Hey, coach, what do you mean? We're going to be up for them. We're going to take them to the cleaners. You see how that negative ego stroke can work?
Well, it certainly can, because of the very fact you motivate your students. You know, before we finish up, I'd like to give you the opportunity. How about giving us your website and also where they can get your books?
Well, Amazon.com and Barnes & Noble. Just put in my last name. School Culture and Climate, and the book should come up. The two recent ones were published in October. The one before that, I don't advise buying that one because I really cleaned it up a lot with the two new publications. The two new publications, there is a chapter on interpersonal communications, which is what leaders often are weak at in terms of communicating with people below them. And the second one is how to deal with conflict. That's chapter two in the second book. And my website is westga.edu/tildacbulock. If you can't remember that, if you just get on the web and look up my name, Cletus Bulock, you should find my website on there. There are also on YouTube at least 10. Just put in youtube.com and my last name, and those should come up too.
Well, that's it for today. I'd like to thank our guest again for coming on America Speaks Out. I would also like to point out that everyone is welcome to come on future episodes of America Speaks Out and express their opinions and ideas about today's topics. The FlyPod Network is a neutral forum, so regardless of your point of view or your political affiliation, it makes no difference to us. So if you'd like to come on the show, contact us by email right here in the studio, shout@theflypod.com. Well, that's the show for today. From Studio 7, I'm your host, Alex Parnuk, coming to you free and clear through the New Media Network program feeds of theflypod.com. Until next time, thank you for listening, and so long.